Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I hope you've had a wonderful week so far, and I hope you're encouraged as you're heading into the weekend. We have a guest we're going to be talking with in just a few moments, David A.R. White. And if you've seen the God's Not Dead movies, you've seen him. We're going to talk about the latest installment in that series. Before we do, let me take us to Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Folks, this is obviously before Jesus went to the cross. It was essential to our salvation that he be rejected, just as the prophets had foretold. Jesus being rejected and dying on the cross was the only way that we could be saved. But before he went to the cross, his identity was revealed to those who were closest to him. And Peter is the one who gives this beautiful answer when Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" All of us have to answer that question. Who do you really believe Jesus is? And the realization that he is, in fact, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior, that comes to us by grace, not as a result of our intelligence or education. In order to really believe, you and I have been blessed by God. So I want to encourage you this day, whatever you're facing, to remember in the midst of it, Jesus said, for those of us who believe, the gates of Hades will not be able to overcome us. He's building his church, and his church will endure forever. We're going to talk about the fact that God's not dead, because he's not. And again, my guest is David A.R. White. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me.
Folks, my guest is David White, David A.R. White. If you see his face on the screen, you'll recognize him as various characters, but we're wanting to talk with him today about the latest installment in the God's Not Dead series. And it's a very interesting story where the pastor, Dave, has to go to Washington in order to stand up for freedom in America. Imagine, just imagine that there are forces, imagine a time when there are forces in America that want to try and restrict freedom on the part of citizens, particularly citizens of faith. I know that's a stretch, but you know, this is kind of not really a fantasy film. It's dealing with what many of us know to be all too real. And that is, there are a lot of folks in our country who don't believe in freedom when it comes to people practicing their faith. So Dave, tell us a bit about the story and how this fits into this four-part series, which, by the way, I now have the four video series, four movie collection that folks can buy as of this week.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, it's funny when we first started the God's Not Dead movies, we were just supposed to be doing an apologetic movie. Mm-hmm. And as we got into it more and more, you know, we started realizing and unveiling these court cases that were happening in our country. And obviously it led to the first God's Not Dead, which was all about, you know, trying to take God out of colleges, as mm-hmm. we know that happens today.
Absolutely.
You know, and then all of a sudden God's Not Dead, the next one was about the high schools, and we're seeing it at that point. And, you know, here we are on the next installment, and this one originated with homeschoolers. Yes. And it's been kind of a far reach because, you know, I have kids, but I've never thought about homeschooling my children. But then 2020 hit and here we are. And, you know, while we're in pre-production on this movie, we're sidelined because all of a sudden we have to homeschool our children.
Yes.
If you had children, you know, you were doing that. And so the story takes place. Reverend Dave has a homeschooling co-op at his church. I you know, reprised my role and all of a sudden we're visited by the county and told that if we don't comply to their standards exactly, then we will be fined every week until we do. Mm-hmm. And it seems all well and good until you start to realize what their standards are, and yes. which is pulling God now out of homeschools. And so our group heads to Washington, D.C. to defend our rights for freedom of religion and religious liberties.
And the fact is, this is not at all far-fetched, because while there are some states that are very, very clear and strong in defense of parental authority and the rights to homeschool, Tennessee, where I live, being one of them, there was a time here in Tennessee where that was not the case. It was illegal. And the in-laws of one of my sons were among the folks who broke the law and pushed to change the law, campaigned to change the law. They lived in the Nashville area, and they were very successful in doing so. But they were homeschooling at a time when they could be prosecuted for it. And they came from a family of educators. One of the big universities in Tennessee was started by their ancestors. So these were not, you know, people who are anti-education. They were people who wanted their children to have a godly education, one that was academically sound and that was biblically sound. And so not only has there been a time in the past when people had to stand up for their rights to educate their children, there are some states where today the educational bureaucracy is fighting tooth and nail to try to restrict what homeschoolers can do. Mm. And so this, you know, your movie is not at all a fantasy. It's dealing with very real pressures, very real issues. And I'm grateful you did it. We've had actually in Tennessee, refugees from Germany where it's not legal to homeschool your kids. I mean, Germany.
Yeah.
We're talking not some communities in Germany. We're talking a country, one of our friendly countries, one of our NATO allies that says, no, if you want to homeschool your kids, you're out of luck. And so literally a family came to Tennessee because it was homeschool friendly from Germany. And the consequence of their being here was that the German government wanted them back. And the U.S. government offered them up. And they had to go back to Germany where they could no longer homeschool their kids. And they were applying for refugee status on the basis of religious persecution. And the U.S. government said no. So this is a real issue. This is a current topic. And I thank you for addressing it.
Yeah, it's interesting, always interesting to me in the process of, you know, as creators and people on the art side, how much life imitates art in a lot of different ways. In our case, it's unfortunate. We wish that it didn't. We wish that it was more outside of, you know, the realm of reality. But what we're finding to be true, and I think, you know, where this movie hit a chord, you know, it came out for 3 days in the theaters. And it basically, you know, almost sold out every performance and standing ovations in the way that we, you know, unfortunately not a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of all things, we couldn't get the space in the process of, you know, all the big studios had these massive conglomerate movies coming out.
Yeah.
And so that's why it ended up, you know, on a different theatrical run than the other ones. But yeah, it's amazing how much life imitates art.
Yes. Well, in this series, you, as you mentioned, have addressed various issues, various arenas, but the theme that keeps running through these, and hence the title, is that in all these situations, God's not dead. That's not just a slogan, it's a reality. And the films are intended to encourage folks to recognize that in these battles, we're not alone, are we?
Yeah, no, totally. And that's the faithfulness of God, you know, that he is, he's alive and he's present. And he is, and we're not alone in these battles. That is 100%, you know, true. And in the process of where it seems like we're, you know, in a dark time in our country, it's important to pray. It's important to remember. And the whole process of these movies is to open up conversations, to start talking more and more and to become more publicly, you know, aware and out there more. And I think that that's something that the God's Not Dead movies have really done and why they're so relevant today.
Now, you're one of the founders of PureFlix. Talk with us a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, in 2005, myself, Russell Wolf and Michael Scott, got together and it was like three guys in a garage and felt the need to make a company that a production and distribution company that could ultimately, be the conduit to putting these movies out there, to getting them into Walmart's, Target's, Best Buy's, those type of things at that time. We didn't know, you know, and as we started all the way up till 2012, 13 is when, you know, we started making God's Not Dead. And that was our first really theatrical that came out. And then at that point, it felt like that's where we were supposed to go broaden that perspective and that horizon. And then around 2015, we started PureFlix.com because we really felt like this SVOD, which is streaming video on demand, which is basically Netflix, yes, Hulu, Amazon, that kind of a thing,
right,
was really coming into existence. And it was so important to, again, have a conduit to where people can watch these movies 24/7, you know, all the way around the year. And so that's when PureFlix.com started and still exists. All of this still exists. And we're excited and thankful that it certainly has found its audience, and the hope is that the audience continues to grow in different ways.
Great. Now, in the midst of all this, you are doing a TV show that streams. You're doing movies. You've got, I should invite you to identify some of the actors who are with you in this fourth film, because you have some very strong folks who are there. It's not just you on the screen.
There's
a wonderful cast. Tell us about some of the folks who worked with you on this last project.
Yeah, I'm always so excited to see who comes into these God's Not Dead movies. And in this one, Isaiah Washington co-stars with me, who's from, most notably from Grey's Anatomy, who's just a wonderful, wonderful actor and a believer as well. And he has an amazing story. And then William Forsythe, who we've seen, all the way back from movies like The Rock to, all these movies. He plays an unbelievable character in this movie. To Francesca Battistelli, who's, a Grammy Award winner. I didn't even know much about Francesca's music, actually, and discovered that,
Shame on you.
I know. It's amazing how many songs that I knew when I started diving into it that, we play in our church every Sunday. Sure. And then, of course, Antonio Sabato Jr., the list keeps going on. And so this one holds a great cast, and excited for people to see it, more people to see it. And the ones that have already seen it have, really compared it to the first one and that feeling of it. So
wonderful. Now, in the midst of all this stuff you're doing professionally and trying to come alongside families who are wanting to do the right thing, you're also raising your kids.
Yeah.
Talk with us about the pressures that you experience as a single dad.
Yeah, I have three kids and my son's in high school now, freshman in high school. And then I have two daughters as well that are in middle school. And so, yeah, it's an interesting thing, our society, the way that it, that's another reason why PureFlix.com started, is because there, we just kept finding this YouTube and iPads and our kids constantly being drawn to that, the availability. I was having this conversation with my son actually yesterday about the availability that they can get anything on the internet and what was life like before the internet. Before the World Wide Web. And I remember, trying to tell my parents about the World Wide Web, in the 90s. And here's email, your AOL account, but even before I knew about it, and so I think it's one of those things that we have as parents to try to guard our kids' hearts and minds, at the same time, put the word of God in them. And also to be examples ourselves. And it's not an easy thing to do by any means in today's culture. But again, I would go back to, I think, any culture, it seemed obviously idealistic or idyllic, when you think about the 1950s, growing up in the 50s, or even for me in the 70s or 80s. But I think, God is faithful in so many different ways. And as you had said, he's not dead. He's still alive. And I'm fortunate. I don't homeschool my kids, but I'm fortunate that they go to a Christian school. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and I, as you mentioned that, whether it is the homeschool co-op that is in the movie, or whether it is a Christian school, or whether, as was the case in my day, going to a public school, and standing up for my faith there, my nickname in my public school was Preach, because everybody knew where I stood. And when we wanted to start a Bible study in the dining hall before school, our principal said, I'm sorry, Jim, that I think that'd be great, but I can't let you do that because of the separation of church and state. And I said, actually, sir, you can't stop us from doing it because of the separation of church and state. I said, you've got French Club, Latin Club, Future Farmers of America, all these other groups that are meeting, and you can't, on the basis of religion, deny us the opportunity to meet just like they do. We'd like to meet in the dining hall. If you want to have us meet somewhere else, that's fine, but we're going to meet, and I wanted you to be aware of it, et cetera. We'd like to have your permission. And he said, well, I'm afraid I might get sued. And I said, well, why don't you tell them that you had to let us meet because you didn't want to get sued? And he said, okay, we can do that. Now, this was in like 1970.
Yeah.
71. So again, the atmosphere there were witches. There was a group of witches in that school. I'm pretty sure at least one of the people in the English department, one of the teachers in the English department, was part of that coven. And the reason I say that is because she managed to get the other English teachers to agree to teach a 6 weeks emphasis on witchcraft.
Wow.
Where they would read literature about witchcraft, and they would have the student witches from Owen High School speak to each class, English classes, et cetera.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up right outside of Asheville, North Carolina. I lived in a little town called Montreat, where Billy Graham lived.
Wow. So
Montreat, when we moved there, had 150 year-round residents. And we went to the public school in Swannanoa, which served Swannanoa, Black Mountain, Montreat. And again, it was an interesting place, an interesting time. Lots of wonderful Christians in the area. Definitely a long history of darkness as well.
Wow.
So that's always been the case everywhere. People who want to go back to the first century church need to decide what, like Galatia, where would you like to be? The church has always had to exist in a world where there are hostile forces and where we are in danger of being led astray from within. So if it were not for the fact that God is not dead, there'd be no point in it. There'd be no hope at all. But because Jesus conquered death and lives and reigns forever, we can, wherever we are, live with confidence. There may be persecution. I've been in jail for my faith, but it was only one night. I can't rival St. Paul. The fact of the matter is, if you want to serve God, you're going to have to confront the forces of darkness. But you do so knowing that we too were once a part of that darkness, and God rescued us. And so now our job is to be the light wherever he puts us. And in that setting, we can shine for him.
Amen.
David, I'm glad that you are seeking to shine for the Lord out there in the LA area and in the entertainment field, and that you're not just trying to be careful what you watch and what you show your kids, but you're seeking to provide something that others can watch and show their kids that will encourage people to embrace the truth and to walk in the light. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks again.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.